July 30th, 2009, a Thursday. We'll be right back Wednesday. I don't know. Some of you may like Thursday better. Shane does. I don't think I'll change the date, but as the show grows, we'll do more days, different times. Experiment. Yes, I said experiment. Glenn from Philly, he says, T.O. and Keita. Sounds like puppy love to me. Sounds like they're having fun with the chase. Delaying the inevitable. Glenn, you ain't never lied. Delaying the inevitable. That's it right there. That's the novel of their relationship. The title is Delaying the Inevitable, T.O. and Keita. Natasha from Miami is back in the building, you all. My heart is palpitating. Natasha says, I agree with your assessment. However, I also think that Toya cannot motivate. Now, Natasha's responding to my review of Tiny and Toya. She says, I agree with your assessment. However, I also think that Toya cannot motivate her mother alone. The other kids have to be a support system as well. I do think the mother has guilt that won't allow her to give Toya what she needs because her mom probably feels that she can't give it to her. So why try? Tasha. Absolutely. Goodness gracious. Hold on. Let me cringe up my face. I want you all to see what I just did. That was such a heavy point. That's how heavy Tasha's point was. She's setting the bar too high for her mother. Toya is setting the bar too high. She can't reach what Toya wants in regards to being a mother, but she can clean herself up. Natasha says, having seen this type of situation with some friends and their families down here, what I see is that as long as there is one enabler around in the family or just having someone be apathetic about it will allow her mother the escape clause from cleaning up. Once you are clean, you have to truly face your failures. Good point. Can Toya's mom really get clean in New Orleans with all of those potential enablers around? She says, I love the T.O. show. However, I just wish I could have one brother on reality TV, not surrounded by white women. But whatever. Good points. I watch this show. I know some of you all are into political ideology. But watch the T.O. show and the Tiny and Toya show. We'll chop it up again next week. Send in more comments if you have them. I want to dedicate a song to T.O. and Keita. Delaying the inevitable. This is what Glenn from Philly has accurately pinpointed, I think. I wonder if they're going to really stay on this part of the storyline or if they're going to give attention to Keita and her nominal boyfriend and T.O.'s living the party life. This is the storyline I want. Maybe I should just email them. They've already, I'm sure, recorded all the shows. But this is the meaningful storyline, the relationship between T.O. and Keita. Send in more comments. We've got about 15 minutes left. I'll read them. Take a little break from political ideology. Keita and T.O., for those that don't know, Keita is on the left. Let's revisit the audio again. They went to Niagara Falls. Keita set up the trip. Evidently, T.O. had nothing to do with it. A room was secured, only one room, supposedly, available at the bed and breakfast. Keita manipulating that situation all the way. Separate beds, but one room. This didn't sound like the first time that this situation had manifested. Anybody feeling me on that? There's another story underneath the storyline that we're getting. That's Keita in the left. I don't know what color that is. A woman would have to tell me what color that is. It's like red and pink mixed together or something. A prom dress color. the prom dress colors. You know, you learn colors by getting your cummerbund and the dress for your prom, fuchsia and turquoise and all that stuff. Let's take this from the top. Keita and T.O. from Niagara Falls to the Bed and Breakfast.
And just when I thought my day was over, Keita had one more surprise.
All I know is I need to get out of these wet clothes. I did book a nice hotel for us to go back to, change.
You said we were going to Niagara, but you didn't say we were staying.
Carol, we're just staying for the night.
Where is Mo when I need her?
That is beautiful. Look at the rainbow.
What is this anyway?
This is a bed and breakfast. We only stay here for the night. It'll be cute. You gonna help me with my bag?
Nope.
You know what? You don't have to be so stanky. You got me totally wet on the boat. Hello.
Hi, how are you? I'm Cheryl.
How nice to meet you. Welcome to Park Place. This is my husband, Tom. Your room is number 3, and when you get settled into your room, you're welcome to come back down. I have some chocolate decadence brownies.
So we only have one room?
That's correct. All of our other rooms are sold out for this week. But we do have a very comfortable room.
I hope that's not going to be a problem for you.
No, it won't be a problem. I thought we had 2 rooms, but we have 2 beds, right?
Oh, yeah.
Stop it.
Sorry,
stop
sorry about the misunderstanding, but we're full otherwise.
Okay, I'm okay with that. We are okay with that.
Your room is right up there. It's room number 3.
Room number 3.
Room 3?
This is 3. This looks like my room when I was 9. We don't have to stay here, seriously.
You dragged me out for the last time, and we're going to stay.
Okay, Janine, wonderful Janine from Hartford, Connecticut. She says, I love the T.O. show, and I noticed from the first show the chemistry between T and Keita. It looks like they would make a fun couple, but they appear to have a good friendship business relationship, and the fear of messing that up would be painful to the both of them. Good comment. Natasha says, I missed you. You too, Tasha. Tasha, can I put your picture up? Because I don't. Rod Ginyard is out there in Culver City, California, possibly at high blood pressures right now that we've never seen. If I put the pick up, it may be too much. Let me know. Missed you too. She says, what I must say about the T.O. show is that it does make me actually like him. Tasha, a great point. We talked about that last week. This is going to do wonders for T.O.'s career and get him endorsements. Tasha continues, I had chopped him up unfairly, and he isn't the complete sellout that I once thought he was. Now, this is them at the bed and breakfast. Sounds like pillow talk.
I don't want to stay here.
I'm tired now.
This room is too small for
me. I'm here. I'm staying. So which side you want?
You know what? Don't be funny. I'll just tell Louise that you...
Left or right? This is mine. You better get comfy.
You know what? You need your head examined. What is wrong with you? Like a big-ass kid. What is
that? What do you mean? Look what you got on.
This is them in the pajamas. T.O. has some red pajamas that you probably seen only on a 5-year-old. And Keita has pajamas on, but T.O.'s right. They do look like a lifesaver rapper.
This is Victoria's Secret, baby. I didn't tell you what you look. You like a big old red tampon.
You in your lifesaver pants you got on.
You can talk about me all you want. It don't even matter. All I know is...
And what is that?
You act like...
She pulled out a do-rag, y'all.
You ain't never seen a headscarf before.
The women that I've dated, they don't wear scarves to bed.
And maybe you need to shake it up and quit dating all them white girls, exotic girls. If you get yourself a black chick, this is what you gonna get.
Tell me you don't...
I'm not even looking at you. Forget you, Terrell.
I ain't studying you. Please tell me you don't...
I'm not studying you, Terrell. I'm not trying to impress you. I ain't trying to impress nobody. Whoever I'm with, they're gonna be proud to have a woman of quality.
Okay, now that line sounded like she was repeating something that she had told him in the past life. You feel me? That sounded like that was meant for something that may have been pre-existing.
Do you understand? Quality.
You look like Angel Mama in a candy store.
Hey, you don't want to know what you look like.
With those jammer pants.
You look like an overgrown elf.
Lightsaber pants you got on.
You need to turn the light out because I'm tired. You don't need no covers.
Little ass bed.
Full of drama.
Look at this. I don't even fit in this bed. That's ridiculous.
You look ridiculous.
I'm going to sleep tonight.
As long as you don't bring them pajamas to Buffalo, we're leaving them right up in this bed and breakfast.
Okay, now listen, this is where it gets kind of pillow talkish. They're in separate beds, though.
Cheetah.
What?
Can you go to sleep?
So, T, you think everything's going to be okay in Buffalo?
You know, God has brought me this far. He's gonna see me through.
Good night.
Please, tell me you don't wear that scarf with Joe.
I had to do it. Sylvia, speak to them. This goes out to T.O. and Keita. Go there.
Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com. To the Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Sylvia, 1971. You got to see the footage of her. Go to their tube. Check out Sylvia performing this song on Soul Train.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Delaying the inevitable, Glenn from Philly called it.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
I think the T.O. show may be my favorite show.
Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
All right, now I got to shut it down. Sylvia's getting a little carried away. Next week, I want to go a little further on the storyline. We'll see. I think they're setting Keita up to I'm going to meet her nominal boyfriend. iTunes push aims to recreate the heyday of the album. Oh, hold on. We have permission. Tasha from Miami has been gone for probably 3 months. You've been suffering without her. It's like wandering in the wilderness. If you haven't seen her, don't know what the big deal is about. She is one bookend of the show. Rod Guignard from Culver City, California, the other. Tasha from Miami. Let me see if I can get this in there. There she goes. This is what the fuss is all about. If you haven't seen her, she's on the screen. Let me read this. iTunes push aims to recreate the heyday of the album. Apple is working with the four largest record labels to stimulate digital sales of albums by bundling an interactive booklet, sleeve notes, and other features with music downloads in an effort to change buying trends on its online iTunes store. Physical album sales have fallen sharply as music retailing has evolved from compact disc sales in shops to digital downloads. See, this is something that goes back to 2002. I had to break down. The mistake was putting out albums too infrequently. I'll save this for next week. Send in some final comments. I'm going to raise up. Joseph from Brooklyn, thank you. Giving me condolences. I appreciate it. Joseph from Brooklyn says do a show on Thursday and Wednesday. It's the takeover. I'm tempted. I want to thank Nimba from the Ivory Coast for joining us today. The fan page is up and running. If you want to put comments up, no problem. You want to send me an email, saidboogie@gmail.com. If you want to send some big files, big pictures, big music, saidboogie@gmail.com. Cedric@cmcap.com if you want to do business. CMCap, you interested in my services. My book is coming out, going to typesetter or pagesetter next week. Can't wait to come out the gates by the end of September with my book. That's Tasha from Miami. Everyone is wondering. That's the queen of this program. I hope she doesn't disappear again. Minister Farrakhan gave a powerful, maybe an interpolation of Michael Jackson. Let's hear some of that on the way out. Love y'all. Next week.
Jackson's mother was a praying mother. That young boy was born into the world for a purpose and with a destiny bigger than music. We know him. My children knew him from the time he was 10 and came to public attention. My children grew up watching Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5, and when they had child show, you know, what, cartoon of the Michael Jackson and the Jacksons, my children would stay at the TV. They knew all his songs by heart. And we watched him grow. I wish they had the screen so I could show you.
Kevin from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania says, Minister Farrakhan gave the best eulogy I've ever heard for Brother Michael. Janine from Hartford says, I watched the minister's lecture on Sunday. It was great. He put Michael's life and achievements in proper perspective. A little bit more. I'm going to let this run over a little bit. Minister Farrakhan on Michael Jackson.
His growth at 10, he was black. With a black face, kinky hair, broad nose, thick lips. Somebody told Michael he was ugly. Somebody told my brother he wasn't good looking. Somebody told you the same thing. So you begin to hate the way God made you, but you don't have no money to fix it. So as Brother Michael began to get a little money, he began to try and fix things. Well, I read something. He had about 6 nose jobs. He had a lot of stuff done. He had money, and he was working on himself. I had a conversation with Brother. He said to me, he said, Minister, they always made us see black people as ugly people in the jungles of Africa. Listen to his words to me. She said, but then I began to study. And I saw that some of these great Egyptian pharaohs, they were beautiful people. He said, and so I went, he said, to my friend.
I want to pause it right here. Listen carefully to what the minister is saying about his relationship with Michael, what Michael told him he wanted to do. Careful. Send in your comments. If you want to email me, you can direct. I may chop this up with you over the weekend, what the minister says about Michael, some things that, you know, you probably haven't heard elsewhere. I don't know if anyone would be, not that Michael didn't tell anyone else, but I wonder how many people would be honest enough to actually repeat what the minister is right now. So kick back. I'll give you about 10 minutes of this. We'll see you next week. How to Show in the Diaspora. Go tell someone.
Spielberg and David Geffen and others, and I asked them, would they help me to produce a movie on the lives of Africans to show black people how really beautiful we are and were. He said they turned him down, and he said he decided he would do it himself. It was Hollywood whose first movie. What was the first movie? The Birth of a Nation. How did it portray us? And how has Hollywood portrayed us? And who were the Hollywood moguls that portrayed us like that? Am I anti-Semitic? Or are they anti-black? They know our history, and they wanted to keep our history from us so that we would never be inspired to rise above what they had portrayed us as. I didn't write no book called Little Black Sambo. Somebody wrote it for me to read. I'm not anti-Semitic. They were anti-black. As Michael grew, he began to change. He fixed his nose, he fixed his chin, he took some of the fat out of his jaws, and later on, you know, he contacted this skin disease called vitiligo. They say it first appeared on his hand, and that's why he started wearing the glove. But as you know, vitiligo, it takes away your pigment. And you'll have one part of you very light, almost like an albino, and the other part is natural. Michael, being before the public, he didn't want to be spotted. So he went to dermatologists who sped up the process. So Michael went from black at 10 years old to white in his 40s. They say when he died, his body was chalk white. He was bald from the burn in his hair, so he wore a wig. And they say that the pain that he suffered from that burn is what started him on the pain medication. when Michael had Johnny Cochran as his attorney, I was in Los Angeles, staying at the home of the health guru, Dr. Torrey. And Johnny Cochran called me, and he said, I need you to talk to Michael. He's really going through something. Well, I didn't know what Michael was going through. This was my first conversation with Michael. It was in the 80s.